And there it is again. Same old, same old. Welcome to the round 10 fan cams. After the Pies beat the Blues, 13 goals, 785 to 7 goals, 15, 57. In another painful display, another disappointing performance. I don't even know. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, I try and stay relatively real, optimistic, but you watch this side play, Terry, and just hogging it down the left side, the disconnect between the midfield and the forward line is appalling. The players look lost. People are going to talk about the argument at halftime. I saw a coach and a captain not arguing, more like not understanding.
Then the other one, the one that typifies everything about our football club, that we just cannot do the simple things right. Know your limitations. 49 metres out, a banana check side set shot, bro. Come on, are we being serious? Are we being serious? I don't get it. I genuinely don't get it. 12 blokes with no tackles to half time in a game against your rival. But you know what? Even though we think it's a rivalry and we say it's a rivalry, I don't get that feeling from the players, mate. And I don't get that feeling from the club either.
I left.
Did you really?
First time. First time.
Wow. Fair enough.
Yeah. Wow. Took a lot. Actually took everything in me when I left.
And they've got, they're everything we should strive to be. We've got this really nice balance of having good numbers committed to the contested ball without over-committing, so that when it comes out, they've got heaps of numbers on the outside. And ultimately, that to me was the biggest difference for the day, is that we put all our chips into the contested ball, wherever it was around the ground, and they would have two or three guys who would sit out and say, do you know what? I'm going to back in those blokes that are at the contest right now to win the contest, and then I'm going to be on the outside.
The spaghetti I had tonight had more substance than that play. Come on, man. At least if you're going to do something, give it your whole heart, but just do it. Do it. Put McGovern up forward and leave him up there if that's what you want to do. What's happened to Jacob Wiedering? Oh, God. Jacob.
I don't know what to say anymore, man. It's sad, man. The whole thing, the players look lost, man. They just don't know where to go. They don't know where to run. People go, it's the coaches, it's not the coaches. Man, to me, if you make a good, simple game plan where the players respect it and understand it, they wouldn't be doing those mistakes.
Let the players embrace the identity of the club. Because I watched them, mate, and they're not Carlton anymore.
It was a weird day of footy. But I think, you know, Collingwood are clearly a better side, but I don't think Collingwood that good today. They could have beat us by 12 goals. They could have beaten us by 12 goals.
More importantly, it was just to get our season on track, and all my Collingwood friends and my cousin, Carlton will win today. They'll win. You guys have been scrutinised in the media. Just, they didn't show up. I was so disappointed.
The way we finished last year just destroyed them, their confidence, their minds. And you can see it, man. We haven't had any notable wins, man, this year at all. The way we play the game, Paolo said, I hate watching them play. I don't feel anything, man, at all. And it's beyond being upset and angry. It's just it's accepting that it's done. It's done with this playing group, because they haven't given us anything for me to believe they're gonna make it.
Like, we get told to cheer more, well, kick more goals than we will. Like, get the vibe up and we will.
I know that there's been some change, but there's been a lot of people that are still there, that have somehow still lasted, that have still been part of decisions that have been made.
Yes, it's dire. It is not good. It is not good. And I don't know what it's going to take to turn it around. But
I think the reality is, and what it's shown us in the last month, is we are 5 goals worse than a top 8 side.
That'll do it. It's exhausting, man. It's exhausting. That is the end of the fan cams for round 10. Thank you for being here as always. I don't know what to latch onto with the team. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blue Abroad Show. It's Monday, the 22nd of May. It's about 24 hours after the Collingwood loss. And here we are to dissect it all, talk about it all, get through it, get over it, and move on somehow. I'm your host. I'm Terry. And this is Pommy. Hello, mate.
Hey, how are we all doing?
Didn't want to start talking, get excited, and then go back into the depression. So we'll start with the depression and get it out of the way. Yeah. Emotional scenes yesterday. No doubt about it.
It was FUBAR, let's be honest. Fucked up beyond recognition. It's tough, but I'll try not be too smiley. This is my favourite time of the week. This is the week we let it all out, and I'll go to bed tonight, I'll hug my beautiful wife, and I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll be solely intrinsically focused on Sydney that this week didn't happen. So I like this night, because this is like a... It's like the ending. It's the ending of it all. It's the ending. It's tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah. It is always a good reminder when you wake up the next day and the sun still comes up. Probably got to probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock before I started snapping back into gear. Not that I'm excited, and not that it glosses over the disappointment of the performance, but there is another week. There's 13 of them coming up. It's 13 more opportunities to continue to put something together for this season. We just haven't had a good, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? It just hasn't been good enough.
Not good enough. I think not good enough is a wonderful phrase. Voss said something yesterday that did turn me on, because I think we actually saw a change in Voss's demeanour. I think there's two Vosses, to be honest. I think there's the Voss we see, and I think there's probably the Voss behind closed doors. And I think there was a bit of a turning point for him yesterday, because I hear way too much about the game plan. It actually makes me sick about the game plan. I'm bored. But I mean, the cold hard facts are, when you're looking at trying to improve something, the worst thing, if you're working in development or you're working in anything that's high pressure, high level, is if someone says to you, "Oh fuck, we're ranked average for everything, and the results aren't what you meet," that's when you've got a bit of a panic station situation, because it's basically the event horizon of development. It means that it can only go two ways, and all of them are extreme. It's really good and it clicks, or it's like fucking your whole ecosystem is cooped. And cold hard facts are, and this is a big stat, because you're talking 92% of all the flag winners in the last two decades have ranked top two for these stats. And that's Carlton ranked in the league, believe it or not, no word of a lie, 7th with possession, but they're ranked 6th without it. And that shows that Carlton are literally average. Usually, it's a weird anomaly, but most sides that are outside of the 8 are high in one, low in the other, and it's basically, right, you need to feed that up. But then Carlton have this weird anomalies where that transcends into other departments. So we talked about it on the last show, top three for being the first to get the ball in the stoppage and clearance, bottom three for scores from that avenue. That situation emerges all around the ground. It's really interesting that Cowton's, everyone else complained about Cowton. They kick and hope. Collingwood kicked further than Cowton with a less disposal efficiency in them kicks. Difference is it's the work rate, and that's where the big thing is. And for Cowton, I thought Voss saying not good enough, and he said something that really, I thought, summed up what I see about this football club and what I feel after 10 rounds. We have a choice. We're a choice away. And I think choice away is the second best thing I've heard this week, apart from Sayer's email, which we'll come on to. Because these boys are at a crossroads in their career. So are we. But their choices are, do I take the easy hit-up kick to Sam Doherty, which is what the exit should look like? Cowton scored 2 goals from it in the second half. Or do I take the easy kick for me down the wing? If I'm Corey Durden, do I handball it off when I get the ball in the deck on the wing and race forward? Or do I know we're going to fuck it up and I flip back and make myself easier to tackle and don't commit? Midfielders, Cowton rank 18th in midfielders crossing the inside 50. We have the least goals coming from the midfield. Even the Eagles have more than us. The way we target, Cowton targeted 38% of our inside 50s to Kerner, 29 to Harry Mackay, right? 29 to Harry Mackay. Collingwood, an even spread between their 5 forwards, none of them had more than 18% each. Everything is easy. And at the moment for Voss, he is in a horrible situation. And that is... It's a crossroads in the proper sense of the word. They either fix it or they don't. And it is all on the players. I want you to understand, no matter who you have as coach, if they can't execute the bare basics, tackles, pressure, covering ground, Cowton averaged, on average this week, GPS data, 1.9 kilometres an hour faster in attack and defence than Collingwood. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. We are quicker with and without the ball. The problem is there's a little different non-negotiable. Watch them. They tackle in 4s. We tackle in 1. Do you know what I mean? They run in droves. We run 1 and kick long. These are real basic things that if you go down and watch your country football side do, they do very well. This is a side that is playing with fear. This is a side that is playing with ease. This is a side that is playing in their own ecosystem. A great analogy I used at work today, because we've just bought a company in the States, mm-hmm. talking to their managers, is fleas jump higher than any other animal on the planet. Any other animal in the planet, right? If you put them in this box for 2 weeks, it's only little, it's only that big, 2 weeks, and you release the lid and you release these fleas, they'll never jump higher than that because that they are conditioned. What you're seeing now is a team that is conditioned to be safe, to do the easy way. Voss now has to push these boys to fucking break them shackles, free themselves, because if they don't, fuck me, this could be messy.
It's a good start, no doubt about that. Fear seems to be a common word that's coming up this week, this year. Apathy is a word that I'm starting to notice come up in the last few weeks, especially. If anything, it's just more questions. So we'll unpack. I thought Vossi spoke very well as well. That was probably the best I've heard him talk all year. And it wasn't, I said this last week, like there's a balance between what how he was speaking and how the fans probably want him to speak or what we want to hear, but somewhere in between. I don't think he said anything that was offensive to anybody. I just thought he just spoke as real as what he had. So there's that. Now we'll get into the game. Those of you playing along at home, I forgot to do this last week, but we'll do it this week. 3 words to summarize Round 10, as Pommy and I get into it. We've both done our reviews. did we put too much expectation on the game, or is that rubbish?
No, because I feel like there's too much blaming,
yeah,
of fans. Like, I want you all to know from the bottom of my heart, no matter what I say, you are entitled. And I don't care about money. Like, if you're one of them melts who says, I've been a member for 45 years and had a medallion seat, that just tells me you're a self-serving wanker. What I'm talking about is the real fans of this football club that put heart, energy, and soul. And whether you blame the coach, whether you blame Sayers, whether you blame Mickey Mouse, you are entitled to that view and share it, because that's how we learn and improve, not just as a football club, but as a species of human beings. That's very important. But for me, I find it bizarre that the coach cops it, because these players literally are 90% of them the same players that backed Bolton, the same players that turned on Bolton, the same players that fucking begged you all to believe in Mr. David Teague. They were the first players to let him fucking leave as well. They were the first players to come out and say, Voss is our man. There comes a point that they're adults, and anyone who's watching this who's 18 plus, you are responsible for every little fucking thing you do. If you go to work and you give it half-assed, that's all on you. That's all on you, because everyone has an intrinsic motivation. This is, for me, the big, big turning point of, I don't care if they like the plan. I don't care if they don't, right? They're paid to execute. When you don't run, when zero tackles are from 12 of you, do you remember when we used to sit here and laugh at David T going, pressure indicators? And we used to laugh. They're the bare pressure indicators. When your pressure acts, when your runs, when your sprints are lower than your opposition, that's the bare essentials. The bare fucking essentials, right? Mm. The bare essentials. And that is a big, big worry for me. A big worry when they're not being executed. Because I watched the play back today. All these players are guilty of literally not running ahead of their man because they know the ball's going to be turned over. That is a sign of weakness, for want of a better word. Weakness. Yeah. And they've got to take some accountability. The players have to take some accountability, because we've got the leader of the playing group, the real leader, Sam Doherty, saying we're not good enough as a football club. Amen. We're not good enough.
Lo and behold, they finally said it. Somebody finally said it. Now, is it going to change anything? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out Friday, and we'll find out in the next 13 games. But being on it. Pardon?
Has to change, Terry.
Of course, of course. But being honest about it it has to be a non-negotiable. We can't tippy-toe around it. We can't afford to tippy-toe around it anymore. It's almost like there's fear of admitting it, or there has been fear of admitting it, because now it has been admitted. The lack of concentration, I think Walshy touched on that earlier today in his grab, which we'll get to. You know, calling it out for what it is, the talk about finals and him saying, yes, of course, it would be disappointing if we didn't make finals, but we can't talk about that right now. I will give some credit to everything that's come out today. Not that it makes it better for what we saw yesterday and what we've seen this season so far, but it could definitely have been worse had they towed the same line that we've been hearing for the last 5 to 6 weeks.
They had to, though, and this is my question. I don't want to talk. I've seen people in the chat say Dimmer has left Richmond. Couldn't give a fuck. It's round 10. It's round 10. Do you know what I mean? We do a whole coverage for weeks that takes a years of prep on off-season changes. We are round 10. We are round 10. You can't change your coaching staff. The soft cap is locked in. So if you do, you'd have to have room to hire someone. You can't sack players. You can't bring players in. Carlton's cap is at limitations at the moment, openly from Brian Cook himself. So they're not even going to bring in anyone on the mid-season draft. So right now, we've got to talk about what we're fucking dealing with.
Yes.
And that is the 40-odd players on the list, the backroom staff we've got, and what they can fucking do and what they can do for us. And I think the biggest thing this has told me at round 10 is it's taken 10 rounds for the fucking club to come straight to the point and go, it's not acceptable. This is not the level we're at. This is not the expectation. How is it taken 10 rounds? Because this has been building up. And this is what I mean by the football club, right? Like Debbie there, that's poor by Austin. Do people forget it was everyone's favourite fucking son, Silvani, who signed McGovern on an overinflated contract, Martin on an overinflated contract, played numerous players that are no longer on the list, 300, 400K. It's not Austin. Do you know what I mean? Austin's only been there a few years, and to be fair to him, you talk about let's make fucking changes, let's make changes. Go and watch the VFL. Go and watch the VFL. If you're bringing any of them players in for a massive, because you think it's going to suddenly make the team better, you're fucking off your trolley, right? Because the depth at this club, Sossi's mandate was payovers for a player or two. His mandate was buy, recruit injured players thinking you got a deal. And there's a list of them, a host of them. The ones we all big Soss up about, no disrespect to Soss, I'm sure he's a good list manager somewhere. But Jesus Christ, the ones he got right, my son would have picked out. Sam Walsh was the clearest number one we've had since then. Do you know what I mean? Wheatering, standout. So let's be honest. Look at GWS's list. So at the moment, let's not talk about things we can't change today.
Yeah.
What they need to do is go in and fucking fix it now. Because I tell you what, end of the year, they don't make the eight. You think the fans are on the case now. The cheer squad don't sing loud enough. Probably won't have a fucking cheer squad if they don't make the eight. People are falling off this club as quickly as possible, right? So let's talk about the now. Round fucking 10, going into round 11.
Yeah. No, look, good point around the fans. It's the first time I've seen it start to trickle the way I saw it yesterday. Yeah, I said it in my review. People leaving before halftime, never seen that before. Like, I've seen us sit through being down 77-7, was it, against Fremantle? And they got booed off at halftime. I guess back then there was a little, maybe the expectations were not as high as they were now because we knew we were young. But at this critical point of where they are in their development and where they are as a group, yeah, to have people and their patience wearing so thin that they're willing to leave early. If you know what, it's powerful though. Like whether you agree with it or not, it's a powerful statement, and they've acknowledged it. Walsh spoke about it today. They've acknowledged it every time they've seen it. They haven't ignored it. It's just disappointing that we have to get to an emotional low point for there to be the truth to come out. And that does frustrate me, but at the same time, I don't want to look too far about what coulda, woulda, shoulda, because they just did it. They just did what we've essentially asked them to do. And yeah, there was a point that was made today in the email from Sayers around, listen, it's, you know, we've got 13 games to play. There are still 13 games. So that might have given me a little something to look forward to. And also there is a reality that is this. A lot of players on the list right now that are out of contract are not in favor as we speak right now. The club haven't committed to them just yet. So we're going to get to the end of the year. We're going to assess it at the end of the year, and the calls will be made on some of these people who we've had on the list for a while now. You know, Pommy, you've said it a couple of times. There's kids out there that can be doing the jobs that some of these 23, 24 year olds are doing right now with more upside, if anything. So we will make that call right away. It's quite ironic that Dimmer has sensationally quit the club while we are live on the Blue Abroad show, because it will show our reaction and it will show how we think, you know, quick fix. Yep.
You know what? From the bottom of my murky northern heart, fuck Dimmer.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Couldn't give two iotas of a piss from a cat what Richmond and Dimmer are doing. Care about is this fucking club, right? And I don't want any like fucking hoodwinked malarkey and flip-flop nonsense in the chat. If I wanted, do you know what I mean, to be patronized by people, I'd go and talk to my mother-in-law, right? Do you know what I mean? What I'm telling you is we've got to fucking do something, right? We've got to do something with this club. Now, what can we do? If you want to walk out of the team, good, right? That's for you. You know what I do? I live by a moral code. So my moral code is I can't walk out and then demand my team play four quarters. My brain is I've got to abide by the same rules that I set for whatever I'm judging. So I look at this team and I think that there's probably, in my opinion, if I was the coach, 18 players that I'd want on this list, if I was honest. And that's probably fucking hard. Do you know what I mean? That's probably high. If Voss gave, if it was the EPO and Luke Sayers could buy players and he said, oh, you can sack anyone. Fuck, it might even be less than that. But what they've got to do, mate, is they've got to believe, man, first. And what I'm seeing at the moment is a team that is playing fucking weak, is playing safe, is playing within itself. And that is why I said to you, 7th and 6th Carlton are rated in the AFL. And that stat is incredibly important because that algorithm is probably one of the few Champions Data algorithms that mirrors with NBA, things like that. If you actually bet on that stat, you would have a 90% pass rate on who wins what game. But the big problem is that's mediocre. That's 8th. That's 7, right? What fucking kills me is we should be striving for more than that, man. We should be striving it. So fucking put some rockets up these players, man. Put some rockets under Voss. Ross has started to listen to you all. He's sick. You're sick of him saying the same shit. I am. Sayers finally fucking comes out of the cave. Don't know where he's been. He's been out at a track down than Bin Laden in the Bora Bora. But he's come out for you, right? Now, right, words are cheap. You know me, I fucking hate words. I'm a man of action. Let's fucking see something now, boys. Come out and fucking show us who you are. I can tell you what, they lose to Sydney, I'll flip because Sydney are the west coast of fucking NSW at the moment. Got more outs than I've ever seen. So let's see it.
Mm. Yeah. When it comes to the execution, right, and the skill errors, like they're watching it. They're reviewing it every week. They're watching it every week with their teammates next to them. I find that thought, I try and picture myself in that theater room watching the same mistakes for the last 6 weeks, we'll call it. It's probably been longer for this season, but particularly in this patch of games that we found ourselves in, right? I just wonder how many times I have to watch the same mistakes over and over again before something actually changes. And then let's just say it does change this week, right? And let's just say they get the execution right. How do we hold on to that? How do we hold on to that confidence if we find it again? That's where I'm a bit confused. And I don't even know if I should be looking that far ahead because I haven't quite broken through yet. You know, we've heard the analogies, we've heard the story around when it, what's the phrase? When it clicks, look out.
So where Voss has got to watch when he had the success at 8-2, when he won round one.
Yeah.
And he said, this is okay. It's a great win, but X, Y, Z needs to be fixed. Right. That's where Voss has to get that right. So when they start to win, that's when Voss has got to keep the standard and go, okay, boys, X, Y, Z was good. However, this exit here, it would fuck us against Brisbane. This entry here would fuck us against a good side. It's where he adds them layers. And that is the standard that he has to have. For me, Voss changing his tone here was refreshing because I think he needed to give all something to say that he actually cared. Because I don't believe for a second, I think you're very unfair on the players if you believe that they don't have pride in their job, if they don't love being footballers. I've had the fortune of speaking to all the players on our list. I've never got that impression that they're here for cash. Do you know what I mean? They all want to win. If you know any sportsman, most of them have devoted their lives since they were 12, right? So they've put a bit of sacrifice to be where they are. But for me, these basics are killing us, are absolutely killing us. And that's where you've got some pride. You've got to have some pride in yourself as a human being. And I'm saying, take it away from Carlton. Take it away from playing for us, right? There's got to be some pride in your application. Got to be some pride in your application. Like, Josh Aaron, that's a ridiculous thing to say, mate. Mackay plays for money. Did off-season training at his own expense. Do you know what I mean? To learn to get faster. That was all personal done. Like, come on. Like, it's easy to do that. But the facts are, at the moment, they're not executing. They're not trying hard enough. Why that is, who knows? I think self-preservation. Self-preservation. You think it's a little bit hard to put yourself in the spotlight.
I mean, look, it's speculative from us at this point. We have opinions based off our own biases for what we watch and how we watch the game and the data that we decide to look at. Some look at a lot more data than others. Some use the eye test, some use emotion, some use decades of watching football. But we don't ultimately know. But I am pretty steadfast on not making knee-jerk reactions until the end of, before the season ends. Because I don't think it matters which coach we have. We're always going to come back to this point because we find ourselves at this point over and over again, no matter who's at the helm. So if anything, this Damien Hardwick news is just perfect. It's a perfect test of the resolve of the club to see how united they really are. It's almost poetic. We come out, we publicly back Vossi, and then the fans will say, all right, well, Dimmer's available now.
I couldn't give less of a shit.
Yeah.
At the moment, we look for the most ridiculous things as a fan base. Like, okay, he's out of contract. He's resigned, so he'll be free next year. Fuck me. I ain't waiting till next year to play finals. You're fucking cooked if you think that. You're cooked. I want to get this team fucking working now for you, for me, for fucking Terry, man. Like, you don't know what it's like working with Terry. He takes this fucking serious. It's not just hard work. He puts his fucking mind into it as well and his soul. Like, fucking, I don't care about next year. I want it fucking now, right? Yeah. So how can we get these boys out of self-preservation, out of this limp fucking mess that they're in, and fucking commit and fucking play hard? Because right now, with these boys in this mindset, you could have Clarko there, Lee Matthews, fucking anyone, right? They don't have it in them at the moment. It's basic football. It's football you see everywhere on a park. At the moment, they look like 23 guys who have just turned up out of the stands, and their game plan at the moment mentally and their execution is this. Oh, we'll work out what they do. We'll try and work out how we play. It's a big thing, right? Players need to know the understanding. They need a fucking serious conversation with each other. Serious conversation, because what they put out in the name of this football club against our most fiercest rivals was nothing short of a disgrace to you, me, the 80, 90,000 fucking people there, the 88,000 fans that have signed up, and, more importantly, themselves. Themselves. Like, how they look at themselves, not good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what did you make of overall? I know you just mentioned, about the words and it needs to be backed up with action. How do you, and you at home as well, how do you take what you heard today about the situation, and how do you actually process that? Did it give you confidence today more than what you had yesterday? So we had Sayers, Voss, and Walsh speak. Voss, obviously, after the game. Sayers today in the email, for those of you that didn't or are not aware, an email went out today from Luke Sayers to the fans. And then Walsh did a little grab for, I think it might have been Fox Footy.
I'm a bit different to everyone else. I don't care what the club say. I'll judge them on performance, right? I'll judge them on what they're doing. But I did think, and I said this 6 weeks ago, this was getting to a crescendo. What fucking annoys me about this football club is they react when it's too late. They don't react at the source. They should have had this statement prepared 4 weeks ago when it started to turn round, you know, and actually be honest about it. Do you know what I mean? Be honest about it and say, look, it's not coming together. It's not going perfect, right? But X, Y, Z is in place. A, B, C is being done. Like, why wait now when the media are sacking Voss? You've got dickheads like Tom Elliott and fucking Mathesons coming out. Should have been pro. This is what I mean. On field is like off field. Reactive, not fucking proactive. But I'll give them credit. At least they did something about it.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. Fair. Well, look, we're 10 games in. I'm curious for a vibe check again. What would you rate the season so far out of 10? With 5 being a pass mark. Those of you playing along at home, 0 to 10, what would you rate the year so far if 5 was a pass mark?
3.
3, huh? Yeah, I'm there. Definitely not 4. It's too close to a pass. Yeah, 2 or 3. Those of you at home, what would you say? A lot of 3s, a lot of 2s, couple of negatives. I love it. 3s and 2s all around. Okay. Interesting. What other storylines have you noticed on field for us that we carry into the next, you know, couple of weeks now, or let's just say before the bye? What else is on your mind as to what's at the forefront of your attention? I know that we've just gone through yesterday. I know that we've gone through the words today. And I know that we want action and we want to change. But, you know, solution-wise, what are some things you think are going to work in our favor in this next bit?
Well, I mean, I think for us is sticking to something. At the moment, it's so predictable. You know, when Carlton are using the handball, there's a reason that they're bottom 2 for meters gained from the handball alone. But then you look at the stats, they fucking use a handball a lot. Collingwood are the number 1 side for handballs to meters gained because they hit an open target. But it's that 5 minutes. You saw it in the third and bits of the fourth where they turn it on. They run for each other. They start to play the system as it should be. With some bold, but that first half, 40 points down, they seem the worst learning side in the world. I watch this side, and they are the worst. Like, it's almost like they have to be beaten to get the learning through. You know, like you watch Collingwood, they saw some of the things we did, particularly the first couple of inside 50s. You saw them suddenly change it up and go, right, okay, this goes here, you go here. We seem to be like, oh, I reckon if we kick another 44 times from 65 metres out on the left-hand side on Harry, fucking the mark will be taken, won't it? Mm-hmm. And that must be so frustrating. Like, I'd love to sit and watch Voss because I reckon he must fucking scream. I know.
One thing we've definitely done to every coach that's come through is age them rapidly. Do you remember Teague when he first started? It was like the happiest time of his life. And in a matter of 18 months, there was that miserable look. I think Voss is handling it better than any other coach we've had over the last few years. I didn't realize this until we did the ratings just now. Three goal kickers on the weekend. I think in terms of, you know, storylines and things, themes that are coming up, we're about to be as healthy a list as we have ever been with this group. If you really strip it back and think about it, you know, Marchbank just played Martin. Well, Martin's another conversation. I don't know what the fuck's going on there because a mystery soreness appeared again. So that's a bad example. But the number of, if you look at this time last year, the number of people on the injury list is significantly less than what it has been this time last year, the year before, and the year before that. And if there is a bit of hope in me, it's that that is going to allow us to put a bit more pressure on, you know, the small forwards who we know at times are inconsistent. The half forward line is shot right now. We're not getting any production seemingly from that half forward position. So that is something I'm going to be looking at with a really, really keen eye on. In addition to what I just said earlier around, there are a lot of guys out of contract this year who haven't earned the right, I don't believe, to play next year and in the future for this club. So whether there's a, you know, quote unquote clean out, I don't know. I look at the list, if I'm honest, right now, it's probably seven of them. That might be light, but there's at least seven of them right now who I'm just not sure if they're going to be there next year. And I'm just not sure if they're a part of the future. And when you think about that, because, I mean, they're either not being selected or they're consistently unavailable. When you think about that, our selection committee has, what is it, 29 to 33 players to pick from, as opposed to having, you know, 35 to 36. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of young kids on your list. You're going to have development players on your list. So you factor that in. But it seems like they've been handicapped with how many people are available to be selected. So I take a bit of hope out of that for a turnaround.
Yeah, there's some cattle coming back. Whether that cattle's going to yield decent stakes, they're going to have to buck the trend of what they've outputted before. I mean, at the end of the day, if we're really honest, can you name a team in the league that starts like we do? Like, I saw Ethan, he asked the question. Ethan, you nailed it. 10 rounds, our first quarter, aside from the Richmond game, where I thought we were probably the better side for large parts of that game. First quarters, you know what it reminds me? I don't know if you have this in Australia, so you're going to have to forgive my ignorance, right? Forgive my ignorance of Australian culture. But in the UK, we have recreational football, soccer leagues, where you pay £5 and you'll just get paired with five guys and you'll play a six-a-side game with a proper ref. It's a great way to meet people if you don't have many mates or any fit mates. But you just turn up, and genuinely how Carlton start the game reminds me of playing six-a-side in them leagues where you're kind of like, oh, I have no idea what you do. I don't know if you even can play forward, you said. So your first 5 minutes of working out what you do, but then also working out what the opposition do. And then by the next half, you probably have got a bit of understanding. That's how we look. Like, honestly, if you told me this week, 23 boys have never met each other until we took them out, I'd believe you. Because their ability to see the leading patterns, they believe, fuck it, it's absolutely balmy to me. Like, how Darcy, I wish Darcy Moore trained our forwards, because evidently he seemed to know what a fucking inside 50 entry looked like. And that is just balmy to me as a football club. Like, our boys then suddenly turn it on for 5 minutes and you're like, oh, fuck, that kick that Voss wants goes to Dot. That opens up the corridor. They hit the corridor then, or they have a short kick on the wing with a handball inside. And you're like, boys, where was this before you were 42 down? Like, balmy to me. Like, honestly, it shits me, Terry. Because it's basic stuff, like even West Coast, and they've got 12-year-olds in their team now. Even they have some kind of understanding and look like they've played together before. Like they've played with each other before.
Yeah. So let's talk about the reserves, the VFL. Because if you look at the stat sheet and you look at the numbers, you probably will be a little misguided in thinking that certain guys are just ridiculously in form. What what is the story from a reserves point of view and the performance?
Tough one. I mean, TDK, aside from his 65 kick, like it's tough. I've just done my review for VFL, and it was tough to give him a high rating, but I did. But you know what? What annoyed me is I watched this game, and I think it was the worst-kept secret, because if you watch my preview of the Carlton game, I actually specifically said Darcy Cameron's a sub, but watch him come in, right? Watch him come in. And I watched JSOS, and it was always obvious JSOS was going to be it. I looked at TDK, 70-30 this week, Rook, high half forward.
Right.
For me, he has to come in, because we can't continue with this Mackay, Kerner up the wing. You watch Collingwood, they use Ash Johnson, their high half forward, for that wing kick. And they do the same exit as us. The big difference is, they have it licked, we don't, because they've got targets in the next two kicks down. Watch Carlton when Mackay takes it. He's got no fucker to kick to after that. He has no kicker to kick, no one to kick to. So TDK, he was a standout. Binsey, interesting about Bins. I saw a stat today, someone saying, oh, he can't kick. He's going at 62% in the VFL, which is about where most wingers are in the league. Big thing about Bins, though, is none of them kicks are shit kicks. They are kicks down hard, high, deep. He's not. He does the right decision. Dow did Dow things. Do I think Dow's the answer, though? I don't think our midfield can play like that. I don't think, like, genuinely, I'd love to say yes, he's earned his chance without any shadow of a doubt, right, Dow has. But I don't think he adds anything that changes what you're seeing on field. The only one that I would love to bring in is Kemp. Kemp in for McGovern, because I think McGovern, don't know what's up with him the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Push him. And that's probably about it. Carroll did some nice things. Fish did some okay things. McGovern, Marchbank was brilliant, but definitely needs the bye, I think, because he only played half the game. But aside from that, there's no one really taking the piss, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. From what I gathered, it seemed like De Koning, Bins, Fogarty, and Dow, and Marchbank for however many minutes he did play. But in the sense of who could potentially come in and be a solution for us, I still don't see there being any more than two changes, maybe three. What have you made of this? I don't know if we call it a change in philosophy with the midfield mix, but clearly they're thinking differently around the midfield mix compared to last year. Hence why you might be seeing, you see Hewitt as the sub. Whether that's a midfield mix thing or a management thing, knowing we've got three games in 12 days coming up, I don't know. But what do you think we're missing, if anything, from the midfield?
Goals.
Mm.
Goals. Like I said, ranked 18th for midfielders crossing the inside 50, getting into attacking positions. They are, like, you know when people slag the forwards off and the defenders off? Our midfielders are absolutely brilliant at extracting the pill and doing all that bollock stuff. Getting ahead of the play, though, and giving something, fuck me, they're horrible. Do you know what I mean? And you've only got to look at it. Do you know what I mean? Pye's running a wave as a midfielder. We won in ones and twos. But you've got Walsh with two, Cripps with one, Cherry with three, Hewitt with one, Kennedy with two. And then you look at Pye's, right? Six from Josh, six from Nick, nine from DeGoey, four from Mitchell, four from Taylor Adams.
It adds up, doesn't it?
Well, it creates avenues. And like I said to you, high percentage of targeting the same people. So midfielders, there's probably, you could make an argument for Dow, a little bit of pace and stuff, but the cold hard facts are, like I said, Carlton ran 1.2 kilometers an hour quicker as a midfield group than Pies did, right? Mm. In defense and attack combined for the GPS starters. Ball movement is deplorable. That's the big thing. And
yeah.
You know what? Carlton are their own worst enemy, like literally their own worst enemy. And it's one of them things that shits me because we can't really judge these boys because you watch the VFL, you asked about that. And if anyone's in chat who's watched the VFL, ask yourself honestly, do you watch the VFL game plan and think, oh, fuck, this is good? Because you see the same issues from the same footballers who were on senior lists that you see in the reserves. They look panicked. They have no assurity. Like, they were playing Williamstown, for fuck's sake. And some of them senior players shit themselves. Looked like they were genuinely lost for what to do. But then you look at Richmond's VFL, everyone else's VFL, you can tell who the senior players are because they look a cut above the rest. And that's a big issue. Something in the club is playing within themselves. Mm. Within themselves. It's all too easy.
Mm. All right. Now, this week, we're going to do the selection show tomorrow on the Pommy and Oz YouTube channel. So we'll go through that properly. But for those of you playing along here, I'd be curious to see what changes you would make. Preliminary discussions. Who do you think? There's quite a few of them that need a statement. But when you think about changes early days, what comes to mind? We'll go through this in detail tomorrow night.
Great question, Terry. I would, McGovern would be my first out. I'd bring in Mr. Kent. And yep. You know what? I'd have, chat, you might hate me for this, I'd have a little bit of thinking of next year and think, McGovern's probably not going to be there. Bring him in. Bring him in. Bring Kemp in because he's the future. Give him six games. Outside of that, TDK for JSOS.
Yep.
You know what? Fuck it. I've been calling for it all year. Dowin out, Hollands for the break. And I'd love to bring in Fogarty because of his eight tackles at the weekend playing in the forward half. I'd love to maybe give one of the smalls a break. Maybe Ed Kerno, because Ed Kerno played forward. And just bring in a pure tackler. And Binns would come in as my sub.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see Binns soon. I like what I've seen from him. I think Hollands, yeah. Yeah, you've been saying it for a few weeks around him. He may be needing a rest. I think I'm with you on that. I don't think he was poor, but I don't think... I mean, I also think I'm pretty big on this next few weeks. We have to manage them because we didn't do this right. Do you remember, was it 2020? We played four games in 13 days or something crazy like that, and we just didn't get it right with managing their bodies. Yeah, I don't want to see the same mistakes made again. So
that's interesting. Just to answer Andrew's question.
Yep, Andrew.
I've got Cottrell and Hollands in there, so they'll be rotating the wing. And then I can rotate, yeah, Akers and Cottrell, so they'll be doing the wing. And then I can rotate Walsh like he used to do, high half forward on the wing, get him out and in some space with Chesney. Like, you know, it used to work when we were 8-2, we're in 8-2. And then I just have Dow solely on the ball. Get the ball, see it, kick the fucker. Get the ball, see it, kick the fucker. That would be his one rule.
When you look back on it now, Sydney was the last time that we played a game that we won where, oh, God, what a time that was. We were so happy, Pom. We were so happy then. So let's look ahead. Let's look into this Friday night. Smaller ground. It's going to be a bit more of a contest, which will probably suit us, if anything. What are you looking at early days with how to play Sydney?
Well, I mean, come on, let's be real. Like, we're in a bit of a pickle at the moment. I'll concede. Yep. Everything feels a bit hard, doesn't it? I feel a bit like the Carlton players. It's a bit tough to do this show this week. But let's be having it right. Sydney had 90 kicked on them by North Melbourne, right? And we're very fortuitous that North Melbourne have the counting ability of a preschooler. So... they are in a world of hurt, North Melbourne. A world of hurt. That, I mean, Sydney are in a world of hurt. That they have got injuries. They are literally mentally destroyed because of Geelong. People laugh when I said they could potentially be bottom four if Geelong spanked them early. They're starting to look at it. Jake Lloyd, God bless him, spent a staggering 30 minutes as a key defender. Let that sink in. Jake Lloyd, you having a laugh? Carlton have got to go into this game and see and be kissed on the behind here. They're kissed on the behind because they are in the same mental state we are. Everyone hates them. Pressure's coming. Will they get back? This is where the boys have got to go into it. Chilly, horrible ground, SCG. Mickey Mouse ground as a pom. Fucking hate playing cricket there as well. Fucking burn it to the ground. They've got to go there and fucking play football. They've got to go there and fucking find something, gentlemen, against a team that is as fragile as you. Fragile as you. It's a battle of fragile minds. So they've got to go out there, fucking put some pain on, a chance to come out of there with something. And I want to see some actual fucking football. Straight from the off. Make them question it. Make them question it.
Yeah, break them. Teams are kind of holding on at this point to until we break. When's that going to be flipped? That's what I'd like to see. I want us to be the ones.
Second half, the first half.
Sorry?
I want to see our second half as the first half.
Yeah.
Come out with some intent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what we've got coming up is the following. Firstly, 6 p.m. Pommy in Oz. Tomorrow, the selection show. So join us on the Pommy in Oz YouTube channel. We will be doing the team selection with you in the audience. It's a great show. Very interactive. Lots of fun. Love it. Also, the Almost Blues Brothers, they chatted with David Rees-Jones. That'll be on this channel tomorrow. I think it might be at 6 as well. Fuck. I've muffed that. We'll consider that. But that'll be out tomorrow at some point. Jumper Punch tomorrow. I don't have a preview for you right now. Those of you who watch the fan cams would have seen Rocco talk about having a couple of former premiership players on the couch because Paul Sebastiani and Mars are living a good life right now in London town.
Well, they're not really. Arsenal have done them, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the plan was, well, it was written in the stars. They were going to go there and watch Arsenal win the league until they didn't. Wednesday, the besties, the rest. I will do the preview for the Sydney game on Wednesday. I need to just chill out for a couple of days and just get away for a bit. Just try and take a little break here and there. So Wednesday, the preview will come out. Thursday, the final teams will be out for the Friday game. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be we're the night before, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. So Thursday here on the Blue Abroad channel, we'll do the team selection live as they drop. Friday, the watch along. Pommy, you're back in the seat, mate. Back in the seat. Also, shout out to Mrs. Pom, who got you across the line yesterday after a difficult halftime break, we'll call it, for you.
Oh, honestly, like, you know what? I don't blame anyone who walked out, even though it's not something to me. I was close to walking out on my own channel. It was a tough watch, but shout out as well to the wonderful fucking chat who stuck through that as well. Like, you know what? I do it for you guys and girls. Like, it's the best part of my week. So shout out to you and let's fucking up these bastards, eh? Give us something to just so I can put my feet up again and just sing songs.
I know. I just want to enjoy it again. I just want to enjoy it again. And look, it's hard, mate. It's difficult and it's hard. And probably got to do a bit more soul searching. All of us, whether it's as fans, whether it's them as players, everyone's got to do some soul searching. Tough times don't last though. Even though it seems like our tough times don't stop and it seems like it's an infinite cycle, it does come in waves. So that's what I have found some hope in, that there will be something coming out the other end as well. It can't continue to drive down in the way that it is right now. Knowing what's actually at the club right now. We can focus on what we don't have, but there's still plenty there to be playing a lot better than what they are. So we have to hold on, don't we? Hold on for dear life, Pommy.
I just want to go back to the days where we were planning September flags, to be honest. It's the fucking times, man. I hate being analytical and trying to find a way to fucking fix it. I just want to go back to the days of where we just got to have an hour of fucking about. Yeah. They were good. Miss them days.
Even when we were shit, it was kind of banter because it was like we had the excuse like, oh, it's all right, we're shit. Or there's expectation now, we should be better. I've said this, I say it every week, but obviously those of you that tune in, those of you that send your support, thank you. The community really gets us going. It keeps us going because you realize this is a privilege what we do here. This isn't just a right. You know, it is a privilege. And we both, Pommy and I think I can speak on behalf of you as well. We take it like that. So to have somewhere to come where we can all just hang out for a couple of hours a week in the shit times, in the good times, that's what makes it all worth it in the end. Sometimes it's hard to see that, but I always figure it out eventually. So thank you to everybody for just being around and just hanging about and being a real community. I think that's the most impressive part about this entire experience, that an actual community has been fostered.
Just think about it. Nearly 10,000 people who don't know each other, just all coming together in the smorgasbord of football. Do you know what I mean? Like, what a ridiculous concept. You know what I mean? Just one ridiculous thing, just the beauty of it. And it is, Terry's right, it's a privilege. It's a privilege and an honour to be the Pommy for this channel.
Yeah, the only Pom. Now, speaking of, we are 354 subscribers away from 10,000. Help us get there. If you watch and you don't subscribe, please hit the subscribe button. I'll keep harping on about it until we hit 10K. It's a big thing. It's a monumental thing.
Are St. Kilda TV at 10K?
Not on YouTube.
That's all that counts. YouTube are the real ones.
YouTube's the real one. All right, guys. Have a great night. Thanks for being here. We're just going to continue on. It's difficult, but wouldn't have it any other way. Well, we would, but we're going to try and hope for better days. Have a good night. Go Blues.
Go Blues.